recorded live.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show produced by the Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can get more info about this show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines open right now, but this show is strictly for men only, so call into the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. And furthermore, fellas, this ain't Bible study. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that is it. The Virtual Talk Show always presents the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is, are you your mother's husband? Wow. We're going to get into it tonight, fellas. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot and a ventriloquist, but more on that later. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so, or if you just prefer to listen, that's absolutely fine as well. But please try to hang on until the end, because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. All right, with all of that said, let's get started. On VH1's reality TV show called Love and Hip Hop, Chrissy, who is Jim Jones' woman, and Nancy, Jim's mom, have exchanged quite a few words regarding their mutual love for Jim since they're both possessive of him. Mama Jones has a lot of anger and emotion built up towards Chrissy, and to express her thoughts without using aggression or violence, she records a diss track and releases the song online. And thus the bar is set for bad mother-in-law relations. In this season's first episode, Chrissy listens to the diss track, but Jim refuses to and goes for a walk outside instead. Chrissy doesn't let him get off that easily and eventually makes him watch it. Now, I'm going to pause the story right there, but I'll revisit later on in the evening. But me personally, I say that I have a pretty good relationship with my mom. But what kind of relationship do y'all have with your mother? Or if she has passed, what kind of relationship did you have with your mother? That's the first question of the evening. I have a pretty good relationship with my mom. But what kind of relationship do you have with your mother, or did you have if she has passed? Anybody?
I believe I had a pretty good one. Still have it. She's about 4 hours away from me, but every once in a while we talk with each other and see how everybody's doing, especially right now when Carolina's playing. We talk like every 5 minutes throughout the whole game because we both like Carolina, but in sports. But, on major things, we probably talk twice a week.
Good words, good words. I want to play something for y'all really quickly. It's only about 5 seconds, fellas. Listen to this.
And I talked to my mother about it because my mom, honestly, is in my top three best friends.
Gentleman said that his mom is in his top three of his best friends. Do you disagree or agree with that statement? Do you agree or disagree? He said his mom is in his top three of his best friends. What do you think about that?
I would have to agree.
Okay. Anybody else?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, let me tell you why I would say.
Okay, go ahead.
Because now that I'm married, there's only there's one top lady in my life, and that's my wife.
Okay.
But the second person would be my mother, because I don't have too many women friends that I call and conversate with. So she's high up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hanging out with my mom, that type of friend, no, she's not my top three.
But talking to her,
laughing about things, keeping up with family ties, and you know, and vacation ties and everything, and that's my mom. I have to say, I kind of agree, but then you can agree to disagree on that one too, also.
Yeah, I talk to my mom at least once a week. At least. That's pretty much a bare minimum. But on a weekly basis, how often do you talk to your mom?
Anybody?
Me is twice.
Yeah. What about you, T-Hawk?
No. None of the above.
Hmm?
Not twice. I mean, I don't know. On holidays, I guess.
Really?
Huh?
So just on holidays?
Yeah, holidays, birthdays.
Holidays, do you birthdays. You Skype to communicate with your mom?
Mm-mm. Not at all. I mean, our relationship isn't the best.
Okay.
You know, some stuff has happened, so.
Sure. Yeah, I use Skype occasionally, you know, with birthdays. And my mom is retired, and she lives in Virginia. And I see her on average about every other month. And like I say, I Skype her every now and then, you know, because she's about 4 hours away. And I've got an older brother that lives up here about an hour from me in Maryland. And he's married with two kids. So, you know, between my two kids and his two kids, you know, my mom is up here in Maryland for, you know, some reason or another, you know, some of the kids are doing or whatever. But I really only go to her house on Easter and Thanksgiving, since she is up, you know, on this end, you know, on a pretty semi-regular basis. But in an average year, how often do you get to see your mom in person in an average year?
Not a lot. Not a lot, man. Like I said, we 4 hours away. So, now I know she's coming up for a Christmas dinner, because we have our annual Christmas dinner. So she will never try not to miss that. But probably we see each other a minimum of probably 5-6 times face-to-face a year.
Okay. Anybody else? How often do you get to see your mom in person? An average year.
Yeah, there's no average for me. It's just whenever.
So it's just kind of sporadic.
Yeah. Yeah, when I'm in the area.
Mm-hmm. Good words. P-Town, would you say that your relationship with your mother is better than your relationship with your father? Would you say your relationship with your mother is better than your relationship with your father?
I would have to say probably so, yes.
Why so?
And, just because I've been close with my mom throughout growing up. And, you know, my dad and I, we did have a falling out every once in a while. I mean, there was a time we weren't really talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now, you know, we're back. But there are some things I hung over his head that put a barrier between us. And then once I was able to, I took the initiative to forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time I was expecting him to say he was sorry. But he would, and, you know, I never got it. So it took me, once I, you know, got to a point in my Christian faith, but I forgave him, and then all of a sudden, you saw a drastic change. Everything was everything.
Good words. I want to give somebody else a chance to answer that question. I'll ask it again. had a few folks just join, but the question on the table is, would you say that your relationship with your mother is better than your relationship with your father? Give somebody else an opportunity to take a stab at that. Is your relationship with your mother better than your relationship with your father, for whatever reason?
I'll answer that one. You know, like I said earlier, I don't really have a strong relationship with my mom, and I'll tell you why. When I got remarried, she went in a different direction. For some strange reason, she clinged on to my ex-wife and jumped on my ex-wife's side of the family. And I just couldn't understand that. I was like, you know, you're supposed to be with me regardless, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she said some things and did some things that was totally out of line, make your head spin kind of stuff. And I've forgiven her. She tried to get back in because now she knows that, you know, my new wife is it, permanent fixture. She ain't going nowhere. So once that reality hit, she said, well, you know, I might as well jump on board. But again, the issue that, and I'm going to try to answer your question, the issue that I had with my father is he let it go down and stayed neutral.
Mm.
When I asked him, I said, I think you need to get involved and handle your family because it's causing unnecessary drama. I mean, when you're going through a divorce, you don't need any necessary drama from your side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And I got that. And my father didn't do anything. He didn't step. He didn't talk to her because she was running her mouth. It was horrible. And, you know, so I would have had a better relationship with him. Now my relationship with him is salty because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm still my dad, but, you know, at certain times you expect certain things. I would have
right.
never let that happen, you know, if it was the shoe was on the other foot. I would have had his back, you know. But anyway, make a long story short, so I don't really know who I would like better, who I would have a better relationship at this time because they both kind of sold me out at the same time, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's why I don't really have the relationship that I had. I think that they would like to have the relationship that we once had. And it's a little difficult because some of the things that were said and some of the actions that they had taken was against towards my new wife.
Right.
And you can't come back to me until you fix that. And to this day, no one has called my wife and said I apologize or anything. So until that is fixed, our position is going to stay the same.
Good word.
Hey, Tone, you might have to do one of the things I did, man.
What's that?
And, I mean, I expected the same thing with my father when we had our breaking off. And even with my mom, there was a time where, you know, her and my wife couldn't get it together, which almost got us divorced because we were so close.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was me saying, I forgive you. It was me telling them, I forgive you because, you know, I forgive you because you just don't know no better.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
So you
saying, instead of putting the burden on me, I put it back on them by forgiving them. And then next thing you know, my mom and Sharon had a talk and I didn't even know about it. And then next thing I know, I come out the gas station, they hugging and crying and everything.
Yeah, but that didn't happen. That didn't happen on my end.
I know, but I'm just saying, it might be something you can do now.
But listen, it's funny you say that. But see, there was something that I did. I called my father and I said, look, this has started on your end. You need to fix this. Fix it. Because I can't fix it. Because now my wife, stuff was said, my wife's upset. And I'm not going to tell my wife, you got to be cool with my parents. And they were in the wrong. You see what I'm saying? So now I got to jump. I have to stand firm with my wife because I saw it go down. And I said to my father, you need to fix this. Make it right on your side. You know what I mean? And he was like, yeah, okay, no problem. And he did nothing. Zero. and they want to hang out, come on for dinner. No, we're not coming. We not going to dinner. We're not hanging. I'll go hang out with them, but my wife won't go because she's like, no one has come because, you know, no one has come to apologize or make it right with her. The problem's no longer with me, but now it's with my wife.
But, T-Hawk, how does your mom, you know, with the no apology, how does she interact with your wife? I mean, is she ever, you know, slightly disrespectful or anything?
Act like nothing ever happened.
Wow.
Nothing ever happened. And that's worse than saying nothing. I'd rather you say nothing. I'd rather you don't speak than come around like everything's cool and nothing's ever happened. And that does not sit well with my wife at all. You know, here she is coming into a family. She's expecting a warm welcome, you know, and, you know, it's crazy. But so I have to stand firm with my wife until it's fixed.
Was your mom receptive to you getting married?
Remarried?
Yeah. You said she, I mean, you said she took, you know, she kind of took a hold, you know, to your ex-wife and her family and, you know, at one point in time. But do you think she was receptive to you getting remarried?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, but at some point when you keep saying I'm unhappy, I'm unhappy, I'm unhappy, and they say hang in there, hang in there, hang in there, you all hung in there. Because that's what they did. I just couldn't hang in there anymore. My marriage was over, but they didn't understand it. You know, my parents had been through HELL and still hanging in there, and I respect that, but I wasn't them. And that's what they wanted me to be. Okay, we need you to be just like us. You know, but anyway, I had to move on, and they could not adapt to it. I don't really think my father cared. I think he was like, yeah, whatever. You know, but my mom was the one with the resistance. But she went to the wrong side with her resistance. You don't go to my ex-wife and start talking to her mom and you know, and it's getting back to me. And I'm like, wait, but this is my family. What are you doing over there on that side of the street? You're supposed to be on this side of the street.
I know exactly. But can I ask you one quick question?
Sure.
And you don't have to answer if it's too. But do you think they were had a little prejudice because of the interracial relationship?
Nah. I rode like that my whole life.
So they understood. It was just that held tight to the person that treated you back.
To this day, I don't understand, man. I just think they were just old-fashioned, man.
I'm starting to get it the more you're talking about it, man. I'm sorry about it, man. I didn't mean
to laugh. Yeah, I don't understand why they just. But to me, it doesn't really matter. This is how I look at it. If you family, I'm a roll with you, whether you're right or wrong. We'll talk about it behind closed doors. But for face value, I'm standing right with you. And that didn't happen. That didn't happen. I mean, it was ugly. It was really ugly. It was embarrassing.
Well, let me tell y'all my story. Y'all know I've been married 12 years. Soldier, I'm a trooper, but I got married at 21, and I got engaged. I think I was 20, and I didn't tell my parent, my mom or my dad. I didn't tell them that I was. They knew, you know, me and my current wife had, you know, been dating. We dated all through college or whatever, college sweethearts, if you want to call it that. And so they knew we were a pretty serious item, and. You know, we dated from the first day of school or whatever and first day of college and all the way on through. So the summer of my senior year, you know, with rising seniors going into college, I bought an engagement ring and, you know, talked to her parents and got the clearance and everything and they approved. And, you know, I literally went down and asked for his daughter's hand in marriage and all that good stuff. So I did it right. But I didn't tell my parents. Didn't tell him I was, literally I was saving my pennies and, you know, getting prepared to buy a ring. I never told him. And it's a reason why, because I told him after the fact. I actually called him one summer night in August. It was like a week, maybe a week before school started, and I called them and I told them, I literally said, she said yes. And they were like, what are you talking about? And I said, she said yes. I asked her to marry me and she said yes. Quiet, you know, crickets on the phone. It's like, what are you talking about, Rodney? I was like, you know, we've been dating a long time, and bottom line, fellas, they were not receptive. Not receptive. Now, they love my wife and everything. That's not the issue. But I wasn't the greatest student in college. And their concern was that this relationship, or, you know, taking the next step was going to get in the way of my schooling. And, you know, their main concern, and I remember it well, they said, you need to focus on graduating, you know, because you're just sliding by, and you're not going to be wasting my money. You know, my dad literally said that the money that I was making over the summer, because I had a pretty good job, you know, making good coin, and, you know, he was banking that I was going to use that money, you know, for books. But I blew it on an engagement ring in his eyes.
Wow.
You know, so he was pissed. Pissed, you know, and I was just like, wow, this is the reception I get, you know. But as it goes, long story short, you know, we got married 2 months. I did graduate on time. I didn't graduate magnum cum laude. I graduated, thank you, Lordy. And but I did graduate on time. You know, the wife graduated, of course. And we got married 2 months after graduation. And we've been married ever since, and my parents kind of look back on, you know, that, you know, they're kind of, I guess, disappointed in themselves in some sense that they weren't receptive and they were kind of resistant to the idea of, you know, us getting married, you know, along with trying to graduate and all that stuff. They thought that I didn't have my priorities straight, so. You know, that's my story. And, you know, it wasn't the fact of me marrying her. You know, my mom is not one, you know, to think that no woman is good enough for her son, you know. And actually, they really like my wife, you know, today. And so they have a pretty good relationship. But that's my story. But how's your wife's relationship with your mom? Is it great? Is it bad? You know, T-Hawk said that theirs is sort of strained and, you know, mine is sort of pretty good. But how is your wife's relationship with your mom?
Well, my wife's relationship is wonderful with my mom.
Okay.
I mean, they have a great relationship. They're great friends.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, I've been married in the past. And my mother, it was funny because my mom was not real excited about me getting married again because she knew what I had gone through.
What marriage was this for the folks that don't know?
For my current wife.
Yeah, but what number was this?
This is my third marriage.
Number three, okay, okay.
And first marriage, you know, I was a kid, I was, you know, but I mean, I was married to my second wife for, you know, 10 years or so, and I went through a devastating divorce, and well, I guess 3 years later, I was getting married again, and my mother was like, you know, wow, you want to do this kind of thing? Well, she didn't understand, you know, I had, you know, and especially my sister didn't speak to me for probably 3 years. And today we have hardly any relationship still.
Because of your wife?
Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
Tell me about it.
Really, really, really close. And, I mean, like through high school and all that. And then, you know, when I was going through the divorce, you know, and she, my sister was very protective of me. Very. I mean, you know, she was gonna get, you know, she's ready to come down and take care of business herself on my ex-wife, you know, and, you know, she saw all the stuff that she was doing to me and all this. And what they didn't understand was I had become a Christian. between my divorce and this time. And, you know, my sister's, this is what she says to me, well, I'll fix you up. She says, we got this thing called speed dating. We're going to go out, I'm going to come down there, we're going to go speed dating and have 30 dates in one night. You know, and this is cool because you can go out and meet a bunch of women, you know. And she didn't understand I'd become a Christian. I just couldn't be out there gunslinging. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to, you know.
Yeah.
And the enemy was whispering stuff in my ears like, you know, hey, you ain't that old, you ain't that ugly, and you ain't that broke. You can have them lined up. But I tried, but, man, I couldn't do it. You know, so after realizing, you know, all right, well, I got to do it the right way, I figured, you know, either single and celibate or remarried, and some of y'all can pull that single and celibate thing, but not me.
Yeah. What does your wife call your mother?
She calls her by her first name.
Okay. Yeah, my wife calls my mother Mrs. and her last name, and I call her mother Mrs. and her last name, and but what about? Let me get somebody else in here. What does your wife?
One difference between that.
Mm-hmm.
You were young. You were a kid when you got married.
Right.
My wife was in her 40s when we got married.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. I mean, literally, I was 21, 22. I mean, that's all we knew. And that just sort of stuck. But my sister-in-law, you know, I got a brother that's older than me. And, you know, she calls my mom, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I want to ask the group here. Got a lot of folks here, and please feel free to jump on in anytime. But what does your wife call your mother? Does she call her mom? But does she call her by her first name, last name, nickname? What does she call your mom?
We both call I call my mother-in-law by the nickname that my kids call him by, and my wife do the same thing with my wife. I mean, my mother, I should say.
Okay,
makes sense. So it's the nickname, whatever the kids gave him. Because prior to that, we were just saying like Miss whoever, like, you know, and calling by that name. But,
yeah,
you know, I just personally feel uncomfortable calling anyone else mom or dad. I'll say it in a joking manner, but,
yeah,
you know what I mean? My mom is my mom, and my dad is, well, my dad, he died. He's, you know, only got one dad.
Yeah, that's how I kind of feel, too, because it's like, yeah, that ain't your mom. That's my mom. You know, it's kind of, you know, to each his own, but I'm kind of in that boat. But you bring up an interesting point, brother, because actually most of the time my wife probably refers to my mom as grandma, you know, like, hey, grandma's here, or hey, kids, you know, grandma, come on, grandma, you know, it's time to go, you know, something like that. So she, you know, in later years, she's, you know, started to call her or refer to her as grandma. But, you know, other than that, it is Mrs. and her last name. But anybody else? Anybody else? What is your mom? What is your wife call your mom? There's a question.
My wife and I actually call each other's mom. Mom. That's just what we do.
Okay.
Hey, same here.
No, my wife calls my mom, you know, Mrs. last name.
Mm-hmm.
I call her Mom, what's up?
Yeah.
My mother-in-law don't even speak English, so she don't really care. You know, she don't speak any English. I don't speak any Spanish, so we just cool. She'll say Rodney, I'll say Mama. That's what the kids call it, and that's about it.
Right.
You know why I'm laughing, right?
We get along fine. I know why you laugh.
You all can relate.
Big time.
Yeah, but I want to rewind just a tad, because we got.
Hey, Rodney.
Yes, go ahead.
I want to rewind just a tad too.
Okay.
You wouldn't like for your mom to call your wife, or your wife to refer to your mom as mom?
No.
Not at all.
Mm-mm. And we actually talked about that, and she kind of feels the same way. Like I probably, until the end of time, and like Andrew said, you know, I was 21, so, I mean, I was young and respect my elders and all that. So, I mean, I just call her Mrs. and her last name, same with her father. So that'd probably just be the way it be. But, you know, my wife and I actually had a conversation about it not, I mean, just in passing or whatever, but, you know, she kind of feels that, you know, that's my mom. You know, that's not your mom. And, you know, we just kind of feel like that. I mean, I wouldn't be like, don't call her mom. I mean, it'd just be like, don't do that. But I wouldn't. It wouldn't
but
be a big
consider,
deal. Mm-hmm.
Does she consider her like a daughter or no? I mean, I hear that a lot. They say, you know, we consider you a daughter too, you know.
I put it like this. My mom probably considers her a daughter or, you know, just part of the family or just a daughter, you know, whatever, if you want to use that classification. But my wife does not see her as a mom, you know, or her mom or an extension of her mom. Or,
got it.
You know,
got
so
it.
It's kind of one way. And they have a great relationship, you know, but it's not – She sees her more as a daughter than my wife would see her, you know, as
got
a mom
it.
Because, you know, she feels that she, you know, she has a mom, you know, and that's,
understood.
Yeah. But I want to rewind, good point, brother, good words. I want to rewind just a tad bit since a few folks have joined. And I want to go back to the question that P-Town and T-Hawk already answered. And the question was, would you say that your relationship with your mother is better than your relationship with your father? And for whatever reason, fellas, you know, if your father wasn't there, of course, but, you know, just I want to expand on that just a little bit as we go into the next phase of this thing. Would you say your relationship with your mother is better than your relationship with your father? That's a question on the table. I want to throw back out there, and anybody can jump on that.
My relationship with my mom was always better, but my mother raised me. And, you know, I've always had, you know, As I got older, me and my dad we became tighter, I guess, even though he was in my life the whole time. But
mm-hmm.
I didn't understand that my dad was a very hard person. But, yeah, I mean, it was, my mom is like one of my best friends, you know, that's how we roll.
Did your father ever call you like a mama's boy or anything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but my pop was really—he was very stern, like borderline abusive. But you know, that's just how he was.
Yeah. How did that make you feel when he labeled you as a mama's boy?
For the most part, it probably was true. Which has nothing to do with the conversation. My pop used to always say, this is how he used to do with us as like kids. He used to tell us that we were replaceable. You could be replaced. I could have another child, and I could name him, you know, your name.
Wow.
And everything.
Wow.
You cannot have another father.
Wow.
That's how he used to do. Now, he loved us, but that he used to always.
He said, I'm using that.
I heard that once. Someone found that.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Go ahead.
But, I'm saying he loved us, but that was how he showed it. He always wanted to put us in our place. Like, you know, don't think that you are above anybody or anything like that. You could be replaced. I was like, but, you know,
that's
looking back on it, not that I would say it to my kids because I don't, but, you know, it was easier. My mom was easier to get along with. Let me just say it like that, too.
Now, would you say that you had to become the man of the house at an early age, kind of, sort of?
Yeah, I guess so. But it was, like I said, it's always been us, just me and my mom, and, you know, my pop was never in the house with us. Like, I was,
right.
You know, I was a college situation, you know what I mean? Something like that, I guess.
Like, <"Whoa." laughs> Yeah, gotcha, bro. Gotcha. But, I mean, are you kind of used to being the head of your mother's household? You know, you said your father's passed, and, I mean, are you kind of used to being the head of her household?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But she has since remarried, which made this call very interesting, because me and her husband do not get along, and I have to step away because that's not my house. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah, we're going to get there, brother. Man, I love it. We're going to get there. But anybody else, you know, I mean, we're having a good chat here. I don't want to let the opportunity pass anybody by, you know, as we talk about the man of the house, mama's boy. I tell you that my father calls me a mama's boy all the time. And I'm closer to my mother then my brother is close to my father. It's just, you know, the four of us parents. My parents, they still married, been married 42 years, and my brother is 8 years older than me, and, you know, just me and him. But me and my mother have a closer relationship, and him and my father have a closer relationship. So, you know, my father always calls me a mama's boy, and it's not a compliment. You know, I have a decent relationship, you know, with my mother, but, you know, to answer the question, you know, in the rewind that I posed to the group is that, yes, in fact, my relationship is better, you know, with my mother than it is with my father. I wouldn't say that our relationship is strained or anything like that, but definitely I'm closer to my mom, you know, than my father. But did anybody's mother put you on a pedestal when you were growing up? I mean, could you do no wrong in her eyes?
I could still do no wrong in my mother's eyes.
Talk about it, Andrew. Talk about it, brother.
I was the only boy, and I'm still a mama's boy. I love my mama.
Say it. I'm glad you're proud of it, brother. You're speaking for a lot of brothers on the phone.
Telling you the truth, you know what I mean? And I always knew that I was her favorite, you know. Now, she never showed it, but, you know, I knew, you know. And to this day, it's still that way, you know. But I heard somebody else talk about growing up with a real strict father. Well, I grew up with a very strict father, military, you know, type of thing. And we didn't have much of a relationship until I got saved and I realized I had to forgive him for the things that he did to me. Since then, we have built a tremendous relationship, and today we're probably closer than my mother and I, because, you know, I mean, you know, mom thinks like a woman.
Right. Right.
Oh, and she wants to talk to me sometimes like I'm a woman, and she just wants to keep running her mouth. You know, and I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, so today I'm probably closer to my dad because we think alike. You know,
yeah.
But I was always closer to my mother because I was a mama's boy, and mama's boy.
Yeah, let me. You mentioned something interesting. I want to see if I can get anybody to agree with what you said about being your mother's favorite child. Would anybody say that you're your mother's favorite?
I would have to say, yeah, because I'm my only child.
Of course. But let me ask you this, Mr. Only Child. Does your mom encourage you and give you accolades more than your wife does?
No. My mom has never been one to give all the accolades and praise and all that stuff. It was always considered that this is what you're supposed to do.
Wow.
Even when we were out and doing things and people would come up and say, your son's doing well, and blah, 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 she would smile and say thank you, and that would be it. And, you know, people would think that she would continue to talk about it or go into detail about things that were coming up. Never.
Wow. So it's like, this is what you're supposed to do. He should be a fine young man. I'm raising him.
Correct. And even now, like, that's one of the things that I think I struggle with is because I don't do a lot of thinking and on praising and stuff. So, you know, with regards to my marriage, sometimes that's rough because I'm looking at it as, this is stuff you're supposed to be doing.
Wow.
Right. That's
my mother
word.
Is still building me up.
Mm.
I spoke to her today, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Christmas party last year?
I do.
And, you know, we had a photo studio and all.
Yeah, your mom was there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this year they sent out Christmas cards, and they used the photo that I took of them at the Christmas party.
My mother
bragged to everybody that my son took this picture. Look at this. My son took this picture. They said, was it a professional photographer? She said, yes, my son. He was old, you know. She's still doing it.
That's good. From last year.
From last year. That's right.
That's good. But anybody else, does your mom give you more accolades than your wife does?
I think my mom does. You know, she's probably one of my bigger supporters, more so than the wife.
and on a weekly basis, how often do you, I mean, would you say on a weekly basis, do you talk to your mother
every day
more than your wife?
Oh, no.
No, you live with your wife.
But no, wait a minute, brother, wait a minute. Just because you live with her don't mean you're having, you know, you could be like, hey, you going to pick up the milk? You going to pay the light bill? I mean, that's not, I'm talking about like.
Y'all could be having hallway sex. Walk by each other, F you. F you too.
I thought you were talking about real hallway sex.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying as far as like community. You say you talk to your mom every day.
Wow.
Every day. If I don't talk to my mom every day, then the next day that I talk to her, it's like I ain't talked to her in a long time.
But is that a problem for your wife, talking to her every day?
No.
Have you asked your wife?
Yeah, are you sure?
I don't ask her.
You don't care.
It's not like she's like I'm sitting here, like my wife is sitting here, and I'm talking on the phone with my mom.
Right.
And, you know, I'm ignoring her. You know what I mean? I might be at work or something like that. But yeah, no, she don't have no problem with it. I'm pretty sure, confident she doesn't have a problem with it. She might be.
If she was talking to her girlfriends, would she have a problem with it?
Say again?
If she was talking to her girlfriends, would she have a problem with it?
No. Her and my mother have a really good relationship too. My mom is a really nice person. When I was saying like my dad is a harder person, to, you know, he was harder. My mom is very nice. Like she's the one that you always want to involve in something. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Does your wife talk to her every day by chance?
Probably.
Wow.
Okay. That's different.
That's cool.
Yeah, I know. I've heard several tales about women complaining that their husband talks to their mom every day. And not like you said, brother, not you sitting at dinner and you just, you know, you got the wife, you know, sitting across from the table and y'all supposed to be debriefing or you're out to dinner, whatever the case. Not in that respect. I mean, just the fact that she knows that at some point during his day he's going to talk to his mother. And I know women who, they have a problem with it. You know, and it may not be, It's not the fact that they just, you know, the husband is running down the wife or anything. It's just the fact that they don't like the, it's almost too close, you know, and they don't really like that. I don't know of any, you know, but your case is different where you know, she'll talk to you and then she'll call your wife, you know, every day. You know, I think that's probably very unique.
You think it's a little jealousy there, man? That,
oh sure, absolutely. I think that's what it's rooted in. I think that's what, you know, with the women I know, I experienced that complain about it. I think that's what it is. It's, you know, it's like, hey, you know, I'm your wife. I'm number one. You need to push her, you know, not push her off the cliff in the wheelchair, but you know, literally kind of push her aside, you know, because I'm number one now. So
well, you know, I think that maybe if it's, you know. Yeah, leaving and cleaving doesn't mean that you don't communicate. I mean, but if you're putting your mother in between you two, then it's an issue.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
no,
I have a buddy of mine that, you know, that I talk to every day. You know, I mean, and it's no, you know, doesn't put any, you know, problem on a relationship with my wife, you know, but if I was going to him and, you know, and he was coming between, you know, my marriage and, that'd be a problem. Just like, you know, with my mother, if I was talking to my mother about issues in our marriage, getting her involved, that would be a problem.
Yeah, has anybody ever shared your marital problems with your mother?
Nope.
Anybody?
Huh? I did.
You did? What was the result?
It wasn't good.
Why not? Why not, brother?
Well, because, man, because the wife got upset more.
Do you think? Wait a minute, bro. Do you think that your mother
is
more prone?
Mom get upset because you know she gonna be on my side. And
that's what I was just about to ask. Is she more prone to criticize your wife or praise you? You know when
criticize.
Not my situation, no.
Uh oh. you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing in her eyes, right?
Yeah. Hey. Not. No. Yeah. My mom will.
she's just going to go with whatever she wants to go with, to be honest with you. And to answer your question way back a long time ago,
yeah,
I've been thinking about it. You say, you know, you feel like you have a better relationship with your mother than you do with your father or vice versa, blah, blah, blah. You know, I used to think that I had a better relationship with my mom, but I think here lately, like, I'm really having to rethink that.
Hmm.
I'm just having to rethink that, you know, because there's a lot of things that I think at this point, because she knows so much about me and because she's been that sole person in my life for so long, there's things now that at different points I feel like it's deliberately being pulled out or said to kind of like put a vice on me. And I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate that at all. And I know that that is the way that I'm starting to approach things myself, is that the more I learn about an individual, when it starts getting time to balance it out, I'm going for the chokehold. And I don't appreciate that. I guess I'm starting to see all the things that I've heard people say at different points, you know, from me being in high school to college and all up to graduate school and life to this point. I'm starting to see it now more through my interactions with my mom. And it's making me say, wow, this is where I got it from. This is who I got it from. And it's really rough. It's hard for me to be able to take it at different points. And I have to go sometimes where I got to shut up. I can't talk to her. I can't, because I know that I'm about to really get out of pocket and I'm about to pull out my chokehold on my own mom. And that's not going to happen. And I'm not talking about violence, putting hands on anybody, just in case somebody listens to this call later. I'm talking about me knowing the things that would, you know, emotionally and spiritually in her soul just crush her if I were to bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that's how I think things are starting to really show themselves with me, and I've seen that she's done this from time to time. And
yeah.
I don't like it.
Do you
I don't like
that,
it at all.
Do you feel that you kind of have to walk on eggshells around your mom?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the times, you know, because it's, you know, one of the things I've always been is I've been an emotional person. Always, as long as I can remember. As long as I can remember. And one of the things that, you know, she's always said to me is get yourself together. Get it under control. I'm sick of getting it under control. I'm sick of getting it together. Because the fact of it is that me being who I am, it works out fine with everybody else.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everybody else is fine. You know, my friends, colleagues, they're like, yo, that's just Pete being him. You know, that's what he does. You know, after he get through this, he'll be all right. You know, but he's going to say what he has to say. He's going to shed these tears. He might give us 1,000 hugs and send us 600 text messages telling him, you know, keep you in thought and prayer always. But that's just him. But it's like, for whatever reason, with her, it's like, as I get old, I'm realizing that, gosh, it's just, wow, it's just, it's not what it, it's not, you know, it's almost like I feel like I'm in the Wizard of Oz. I've gotten to the curtain, I've pulled it back, and I'm seeing the wizard now, and I don't like it. I don't like it. And it's one of those things where, you know, I sit on this call a million times, you know, single-parent home, parents divorced 2 weeks before I was born, all that, blah, 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 you know, just girl with moms. And I love her to death for everything that she's done to get me to where I am today and the way that she's prepared me. But I feel like there's like this internal conflict. A lot of things just ain't sitting right. And as I start to peel back the layers on this and start looking back over the years, there are different points where I feel like, you know, I was feeling this pressure, but I couldn't pinpoint where the pressure was coming from. Now I know. Things that were said, things that were done, how sometimes blindly stuff got sabotaged, and I was like, how did this crumble on me like this? Yeah, I got an idea now.
Would you say that your wife has to walk on? Does she feel that she has to walk on eggshells around your mom, or just you?
I think she walks on eggshells because she's more concerned how I'm going to react, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of she's not concerned, because she and my mom have a great relationship to the point that, you know, before we even really started getting serious about where we were going, I was messing around, and my wife, well, at the time, girlfriend went and talked to my mom. My mom knew all about this.
Mm.
and I just got blindsided. And then later I found out my mom knew that she had come to talk to her and knew about all this, and I'm thinking in my mind, you're supposed to give me a heads up. I'm your son. Wow. You're supposed to let me know that this is coming down the pike and that I'm about to get blown up. And, you know, you said nothing.
Wow.
And she did nothing. Now, her response to that was, well, you know, if y'all were going to end up together one day, I didn't want it to ever be the type of thing where, you know, your wife didn't feel like she couldn't come talk to me about something. I just stayed out of it. And I was like, okay. And I thought about that to some degree. And I think that's why they probably have that good relationship today. Because my mom did stay out of it. But the fact is that still, right now for me, it doesn't sit well. You know, at different points, it's like, I'm your son. So if I was doing something crazy, you know, and, you know, I'm not saying I am, and the law was coming to get me, you would just let them come get me? Just let them come get me and not remotely tip your hat and say, hey, you better run. Not saying that you're going to outrun them, but you better run.
Right. I mean, would you say that is it hard to tell your mother when she's wrong?
No. I mean, it's not hard for me to tell her. Now, the better question is it hard for her to recognize and accept the fact that she's wrong and to admit it? That's the better question, because I can say it all day.
That though. You got to tiptoe around that. But back on what you were talking about, see, I got to agree with you and what Tony said. You know, as family, you know, you got to come behind your son.
Yeah.
Period.
And closed doors, she can read you the riot act.
Right.
But up front, that's my mama.
Yep.
I mean, there would be something that just didn't sit well with me about that one.
Yeah.
And you know.
To this day, it's still not sitting well. You know, I sit there and I just was like, I'm your child. You knew her just because we had a verbal agreement at the time that we were going to be in a relationship just talking to one another. I'm your child. She came and sat in your house, talked to you about this. You knew it was coming. You didn't even have the thought process to say, hey, you never told me anything about this, but this is what's being shown to me and talked to me about. You may want to run. Not saying you're going to outrun it, but you may want to run. But the fact is I got none of that. That after the fact, when things hit the fan, and then I found out, yeah, she was sitting in your living room talking to you, and you knew this whole thing. And, I mean, but that's one example of many things where I sit back and I look at it, and I'm just like, this is crazy. Because in my mind, at this point, it's like, how can you continue to tell me what I should be doing? How can you continue to do, when I'm sitting here and I understand that, yes, you are still the parent by the divine way that it's organized and the lineup and the dominoes fall. Got it. But that's crazy. I would never, you know what I'm saying? Like, for my children, if they're doing something wrong, I mean, I guess I would be able to be held in contempt or seen as an accessory, because I would be like, yo, hey, they coming to get you. And please give them a chance to get going.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't mean they're going to outrun them, but they would at least get a shot to get going.
Yeah.
And in this instance, and in several others that I could just, oh, my goodness, I'm just saying to myself, what in the world? Because here's the thing. Growing up, with my father not being there, you know, I could build whatever false, real reality, real things that have happened or whatever, because it was what it was. But the person that was there taking care of you, that provided for you, that got you the way you're supposed to be, that's been putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, that's been showing you right and wrong, that's been doing this, that's a hard lesson of right and wrong when you're sitting there and the person that you think could save you doesn't save you. It doesn't even try to just give you a tip.
Yep.
I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but I just like Star Wars. Even in Star Wars, when Darth Vader was sitting there watching the Emperor shock the crap out of Luke Skywalker, he eventually got his senses about him and threw the Emperor into the hole.
That's right.
Because that was his son.
That's right.
That was his son.
Who's got to kick in?
It was his son, and he kicked in to say, hey, you know what? This is my blood.
Uh-huh.
But that's I'm getting a little amped.
let me ask you this, brother. And this is kind of a difficult question, but has anybody ever said that your mom is a bully?
No.
Nobody's ever said that, man. But I'm going to tell you this. I mean, if I had to think of all the bullies that gave it to me in life, who I then stood up to and flipped on them whatever way I could, or at least thought I stood up to them, I mean, this... Man, she at this point, the things that are being revealed to me and the way I'm seeing it, and more so, I guess, the way that I see myself playing things out, how could I not just have her on that page when the picture right beside the word? And that's scary to me. And it is one of those things that makes me say, you know, I don't know, to your question. You know, I used to think it was my mom, but at different points now, I'm like, wow, you know, I'm flying solo out this piece.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll agree with him because, you know, I've gone through that same thing. And, you know, there is betrayal that you're going to go through in your life. And I'm not saying that he was betrayed or anything like that, but when that happens, there's no greater feeling. I mean, that is the ultimate betrayal. Because like he said, that's your person, that's your caregiver, that's your nurturer, that's the one that was there from the beginning, breast milk, all the way down to what happened. Who are you? You know, when I call to talk to my father sometimes, I'm like, I hope she don't pick the phone up. And that's horrible. That's horrible. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to have the fake conversation. You know, I don't want to have the, yeah, how you doing? You don't really care. You know, so why even, you know. But when you get to that point, it's just bad. It's just bad.
It's very bad. Because I feel like at different points, you know, you try, like, I can, it's now... I can tell when she's trying to bait me into something. You know what I'm saying? When I was younger, you know, you get into it, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that's when, like I said, like the things that come out with the pain. I mean, she's putting you in pressure points and all types of things because she knows things about you, knows them about you. Who does that? You know what I'm saying? Who does that? You know, and it's crazy because you think to yourself, like, this is my mom. Why would she try to choke me out? Why would she try to take the air from me? You know what I mean? Why would you want me to tap out?
Have you talked?
Just so that you can show me that, oh, you bigger than me, you badder than me, you know more about me. I mean, what's the point?
She brought you in this world, she'd take you out.
Yeah, but see, at this point, the scary part is that, I mean, the scary part is at this point, man, is like, it's getting to a point that I'm about to start biting back, and then it's not going to be positive. And I think then, at the end, we both lose.
Have you had the conversation with her to see,
you know,
what her mindset is?
Here's the thing. When I try to, like I said before, I've tried to have the conversations, but it's not, it reminds me of everything that every person that I've ever really cared about or thought I cared about has said to me. You know, I'm talking to her and I'm hearing myself saying the same things that these people would say to me. And it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. It's just round and around. It's based in facts. It's based in specifics. And it's like, instead of just being able to get the point and to listen and to have, you know, opportunity for people to really hear what you have to say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Well, the reason I ask you that is one of the hardest conversations I've ever had to have was with my dad. And he was very strict growing up. I mean, he let me know, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. And he tried on several occasions. And he did some things when I was a child that back then they called discipline and today they call abuse.
I know about that.
He used to beat me with the fireplace poker and, you know, that iron rod and bend it over my head and all kind of stuff, you know. But probably the hardest conversation I ever had to have was at 40 years old. And I had just gotten saved, and God showed me that I was holding a lot of this hostility toward my dad. Now, I would see him smile on his face, and everything was fine, but I was like, look, you know, I ain't no kid. You ain't going to push me no more. I ain't no punk.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I was at the point kind of like I'm here with this, you know, other gentleman that just is any little thing could flick you off. And, I mean, I was right at that edge, you know. I mean, I was like, no, you're not, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. You can't control me, you know, that kind of thing. And it was a very difficult situation for me. And I had to sit down face to face with him and literally recall several of the different events that he had done in my life that had hurt me deeply. You know, and I didn't want to hurt him because I love him, you know, but I had to do this, and I had to tell him when he did these things that were wrong. You know, like, and if I was this guy, I was saying, and you know what, you should have had my back, but you didn't, and that hurt me, and still hurts me today, you know, and, you know, but I had to forgive him, and I had to say, but I forgive you. And my dad's a very, some of y'all know my dad, he's a very stoic guy, and I walked away, matter of fact, I had both my mom and my dad at the table. We were at a restaurant. I drove up just to do this. And when I walked back to the table, my dad had gone to the bathroom. My mother looked at me, and she said, "He didn't get anything you just said." And I said, "Well, that's okay." You know, and I was in tears, and you know, and I said, "That's okay. I had to forgive him anyway," you know. And he didn't speak to me for 6 months.
Wow.
No, not one word. And that was 2002. And today we have the best relationship. And God worked on his heart. But I had to forgive him because I was carrying it around. I was 40 years old carrying that anger still. And I hear some of that anger in some of the guys that are talking. They have love, but there's that anger because you've been hurt. And the only way I got through that was through forgiveness. And I had to sit down face to face with my dad and say, "I love you, you know, but when you did this, you were wrong and you hurt me, but I forgive you."
Good words, good words. And I want to switch gears. Great words, fellas. I want to switch gears just a tad bit. And then we'll get back over to Mom Duke. What about your mother-in-law, a.k.a. your monster-in-law? How's your relationship with her? Anybody have a great relationship or a bad relationship with your mother-in-law? Great or bad. Got to be one or the other.
I had a terrible relationship before we got married.
I mean, was she a meddling mother-in-law, Andrew? I mean, what was the deal?
Goodness, man. She was a gossiping mother-in-law. Mm. And she was in this gossip train. We went through all kind of crazy stuff in this family. And I mean, just saying terrible things about me. She didn't even know me, you know, and I was pissed. And it's not cool to be pissed at your wife's mother.
Yeah.
I do real well, hold my tongue, you know, and I just, you know, okay, but you can't blast your fiance's mother. I mean, you just one of those things. You got to suck it up. You can't blast them, you know. And when we got engaged and you know, and her mother, you know, she was like, "Oh, okay, we're just going to push all this stuff behind us now because you're getting in the family." I said, "Oh, no, we're not."
Not that easy.
It was this. Mm-hmm. I said, "When you did this, you were wrong. Mm-hmm. You should have never put your mouth on me, you know, but I forgive you." And I had to go through that because I wasn't going to play like everything was nice. I'm not that kind of person. I can't, you know. Because like you carry that stuff, and you just it just simmers, and after a while, somebody does something, and you just flick off.
Yeah.
I would say with my mother-in-law, it's not. I think that we have our moments where things get a little awkward, and the reason for that is because in my wife's family, her mom runs the show.
Ooh.
I mean, she does, and her what was it? Her mother and my wife's sister told me one time, actually myself and a couple other people in the family, "You know the women run this family, don't you?" I remember just sitting there looking at it, and I was like, "Well, okay, well, y'all can do anything you want, but that address up here where we are, that's not falling in that jurisdiction."
The problem that I had, because there was no men in the family, and the women thought that, you know, the any man that came in was some kind of weak punk that they could run.
Yeah. I think at different points what it is with my mother-in-law is, you know, if she she has a plan for what she wants to do. And my wife is still acting like she's an 11-year-old girl around her mom at different. And she, you know, I have to just basically say, we're not doing that, Mom. That is not what we will do here.
But
and of course, then
it gets a little
awkward, and there it is. But I think she's starting to recognize, but it's taking time.
So you don't find it difficult at all to tell your mother-in-law no?
Yeah, no, because I refuse to be displaced or and feeling any discomfort, especially in my own place.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I'm in theirs, because here's the thing, I will not. You can't contain me. I mean, you can't. If I decide that, you know what, I'm not staying in this house, I can bounce.
Good words. Anybody else? The monster-in-law? Yes, no, maybe so.
Yeah, my situation's a little crazy because neither one of my wife's parents are living, and that's been since she was 18. And like I said earlier, you know, the issues that I have with my parents after I married her kind of, like, makes it even worse. You know what I mean? Because I'm pretty sure that she would have enjoyed my parents because she didn't have any. You know, my parents had acted a total fool. You know what I mean? So, again, I'm robbed of that, and my wife is too, pretty much. So I don't really have a monster-in-law issue.
Good words. Anybody else?
I would say, though, my issues are a little different. I actually have a great relationship with my mother-in-law.
Okay.
And it started from day one, from the moment we met. You know, my wife and I met, you know, known them now for 12 years. You know, haven't had a disagreement. She does play the role in our family where she's more of kind of support to my father-in-law. But even with him, we've had a great relationship. So a lot of the, you know, back and forth and you know, we've never really lived in the same state. You know, they live down south. They live in Florida now, and, you know, we go down and spend, you know, long amount of time with them. They come up and spend time with the grandchildren, and it's great.
Good words. And speaking of spending time, does your mom, let's get back to mom, since everybody's mother-in-law is great and lovely. but does your mom give you guilt trips about what she needs or about you spending more time with her? Anybody ever deal with that? You know, maybe you're far away, you know, and, you know, it's that time of year again. And does your mother's feelings get hurt if you decide to spend the holidays with your wife or your wife's family instead of with her? Does she give you any grief about that, anybody? No. Okay.
Guys were talking earlier about this relationship with mothers.
Yeah.
I kind of have a unique situation, and I think when my wife and I got married, we moved to Maryland, live in the state of Maryland, and my mom was living in New York. And so when we decided to have our first child, my wife and I decided to invite my mom to come down to live with us. And so she's been living with us now. My son is 8 for 8.5 years.
And this is your mom?
This is my mom.
Okay.
And my wife and her have the greatest relationship. I mean, at times where I feel left out because of the relationship that they have. And I'm kind of the oldest son, and so, you know, I'm more of the, you know, this is what's going to happen, it's not going to happen. And they kind of, you know, they have a relationship as a mother-daughter relationship. So it's really interesting how my mom raised two boys, and so she never really had a daughter. And so my wife just became her daughter. And, you know, there have been some growing pains, but nothing to the point where, you know, I really messed up the relationship. And now they have a great relationship. And I think my wife at some level desires that for me and her mom, but we just not just in proximity, just, you know, they're in two different states. So we're unable to do to build that kind of relationship. But, you know, I can't complain.
So would you say, brother, what about, now you say your mom moved in and your wife was on board with that, but would you have let your mom move in against your wife's wishes if she was just adamant about, nope, she, I know you love your mom, I love her too, but she's not moving in? Well, I mean, what would have happened there, brother?
I think that would have been a difficult discussion to have.
Very difficult.
Because at some point I pulled the head of household stuff.
Yeah, because I said so.
Yeah. This is what's going to happen. We're going to figure out how it's going to work out. We had a discussion. We had a discussion about, you know, what would this mean for you? What does this mean for us? What would this mean for our family? You know, she coming down and you know, we getting ready to have our first child. What would that mean? And it was something that we both thought was, you know, we were away from our family, so it was moving the family down to be with us. And, you know, it all worked out. So
would the same thing apply if your wife tried to move her mom in against your wishes?
Well, I don't think it was necessarily against our wishes, right? If we had a conversation about it, if she had to move her mom in. The other part is, our mom comes up. I mean, our mom and dad comes up and they stay 2 weeks. And great.
I'm
going to be the bad one on this because it's great for me. I literally, our mom comes in 2 weeks and I clean the whole house and do all my laundry, cook the ratio. I mean, it's great. I mean, really. No.
So you're like, you're leaving already after 2 weeks? Can't you stay?
Yeah, that was the conversation I had the last night she was here. Mom, you're leaving already? Right. And I refer to her mom and dad as mom and dad.
Yeah.
And I think just culturally, that's what we're used to. You know, they became my mom and dad when I could substitute my biological mother and father, but, you know, by extension, they're my mama and dad. And I didn't talk to her dad just like I would talk to my dad. Now, my relationship with my mom is a little bit different because, again, she raised two boys, and so, you know, it's a little bit more tough and direct. Her mom, you know, raised a girl, and so it's a little bit more feeling and emotions.
But I mean, you actually talk about a good thing. I mean, you come home from work, you know, mama's in the kitchen, you know, got a hot meal. She taking care of the babies. You know, if you want to go out on a date night, it can actually, you know, it can actually work out in your favor if mom dukes up there.
And I'm telling you, brothers on the phone, it has definitely worked out in our favor. And we now have two children and, you know, have a great relationship with their grandparents, great relationship with my mom. And it has been a blessing for us.
Yeah, and I want to, speaking of the children, I got to ask this. When your mama moves in, I mean, how do you have sex with your mama in the house all the time?
This is my house.
I just don't know. I don't know. With mom in the house, are you bang? What do you? How do you do that? I mean,
what I did was when we built this house, we specifically made sure we built a mother-in-law suite for her all the way downstairs. Our room is two floors up.
Gotcha.
She's all the way down. And so that helps out a little bit. But it also, this is my house, man. And Mom,
cover your eyes.
Yeah. Now, don't you come upstairs now, you know. You know, you down for the night in the mother-in-law suite. I expect to come out. But I tell y'all got to listen to this. I tell y'all how you have sex with your mother-in-law in the house. Listen to this. 10 seconds.
Very quiet.
You gotta be very, very quiet. But good words, fellas. Let me ask this. I asked this a couple weeks ago. If both your mother and your wife were in danger and you could only save one, which one would you save and why?
Wife.
The wife? Why so, brother?
Because, I mean, that's my number one responsibility, to protect her.
You gotta just let mom just go ahead. Boat sinking.
Gotta go.
Only save one. Okay. All right. But at what point, brothers, should your mom become secondary in your life? At what point should she become secondary in your life?
You know, that's kind of a down kind of a term, you know. Secondary sound like it's negative.
That's reality.
When you marry your wife, she's number one.
That's right. That's the right answer.
You know, I do.
Yep.
One woman in your life.
Yeah. But that's the right answer. And I'm agree with that. Right. Just in case my wife listens to this recording later on. Right. I'm gonna agree with that.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna say, brother, that's a difficult decision. I was placed in a situation. It's interesting that you asked that question, Rodney, because last week, a week from today, my wife and my mom were in a car accident. My wife was driving, my mom was in the passenger seat. I get to the scene of the accident, about 3 miles from the house, already at work, at home, and the passenger seat side is completely taken off the car.
Wow.
I get to the hospital, and I'm saying my wife and my mom are here. I get in the emergency room, and I see my wife first, but I really want to see my mom. Right, so it's the right thing, you know. The Bible says you leave your mother and father, give to your wife.
Yeah,
I can't replace my wife. I only have one of those. Push come to shove, we might be able to trade the wife in though, get a new one.
Like the brother said earlier, that I can make some dude new. You only get one father. Wow, that's interesting.
But both of them are doing well. Thank God they're both safe. My mom got a little bit more injury. My wife is back. She was able to leave the hospital. Mom stayed a couple of days, but they're doing well. But, you know, it really, that question that you asked, Ron, it really kind of pushed me a little bit because, you know, given this in front of me, both of them, they were wrecking in the room right next to each other, in trauma room right next to each other. Made sure my wife was fine. And I think a part of it was given what I saw at the scene of the accident, right? I wanted to make sure that Mama Dukes was going to be all right.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, so we shouldn't, I'm not saying leave your mother high and dry. We should definitely find a way to incorporate her into our lives after we get married. But, brother, you said she was in an accident and, you know, maybe they both need some care, but do you feel compelled to take care of your mother? I mean,
absolutely.
You think
absolutely.
If you're not there, that nobody else
will be? Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I was driving. I feel like this is a confession for brothers right now. We were driving to the hospital, and I called my best friend. He met me. We drove up to the hospital, and he was like, "You don't call your mom's husband?" I was like, "No, I got this. I'm the oldest boy. She raised me." Part of it is, I got some father-in-law issues. A part of it is, you know what I'm saying, I'm one of those people that I'm not going to call folks and not know information. I can't call you and say, there's been an accident. I don't know the extent. I don't know the injury. And so I don't like to put folks in positions where you're going to be worried for the next hour and don't know what's going on. At least want to call and give some information. So, you know, I get there and worked it out. For me, in my mind, my mama took care of me. I'm an adult now. I should be able to take care of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can. I feel like whatever she needs, she can ask me, and if I can't do it, my younger brother will. The only thing that we can't provide to her is companionship.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because when right before she told me she wanted to get married, and she introduced me, the dude asked me, "Oh, I need to talk to you." Yeah, we need to talk. How do you feel about it?
So he almost had to come to you to ask for your mother's hand in marriage.
And he came and he said, "How do you feel about your mother not getting married?"
I said, for real, you want me to tell you? He said, yeah, because I know you're going to be honest, all right? And I'm telling you what I told him. I said, for real, for real.
Hmm.
Between my brother and I, we got this.
But do you ever find yourself maybe prioritizing your mom's needs over your wife's needs in any way?
Short of what happened over the last week,
no.
And a part of that is, you know, they're two different people, you know what I'm saying? My mom is a go-getter, you know. Again, she raised two boys.
Yeah.
Single parent, right? So there's very few things over the last 50 years that she hasn't gone and gotten for herself.
Mm.
My wife is a little different, you know. My wife is, you know, a girly girl. You know, she sometimes wants, you know, her husband to stand next to her. Most of the time she go do what she needs to do, but sometimes she wants her husband to stand next to her. So just in terms of needs, prior to the last 7 days, really, you know, I'm attentive to my wife's needs.
Good word.
Because in my mind is, my mom can handle it until I get there.
Gotcha. And prior to the last 7 days, brother, you know, is it safe to say your wife has to tell you to do something multiple times while your mother can tell you to jump and you say how high?
No.
That was a long pause.
Yeah. You know, my mom still has the power to, you know, to still every now and again to revert back to her sons being eight and two. So you know,
right.
She might swell up every now and she tell you one time you go do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean I don't feel like, you know, my wife asked me to do something. She knows if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it the first time. If you got to tell me two or three times, that means I ain't going to do it. So.
And we were talking last week, and I agree with that. We were talking last week about that, and I meant to, T-Hawk, I was going to hit you up on Facebook because on Tuesday we're talking, yeah, okay, you know, I'm going to get to it. We're telling my wife, yeah, I'll get to it. You know, just know I'm going to get it done. I ain't got to do it right now, but just know it's going to get done. And, you know, trash goes out on Monday and Thursday. So 2 days after our call, I'm going to put the trash out and say, you know, I got this. Don't worry about it. And got up late, truck going down the street, didn't miss the which comes trash out. I'm just going to put it up on Facebook and just blast myself because I'm sitting there talking about, no, I got this. Let me do it in my own time. And I did it in my own time, and I missed the truck. to answer your question, though, Ronnie, I say, yeah, you know, my mom tell me to do something, I'm going to do it right then and there. Unlike what we were talking about last week where,
yeah,
you know, if your wife asked, yeah, I got this. I'm a little kid.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Rodney. Would you say that you're more likely to do home improvements for your mother than for your wife? I mean,
I don't do home improvements for nobody. That's not what I do. That's my brother. I don't do those. So I would say like yard work, if you want to talk about that. Now, if I'm, you know, either out here at my house or at my mom's house, now I'll do that. But in terms of, you know, putting down new flooring in the kitchen and new cabinets and all that other stuff, I don't get into that.
But cutting the grass
stuff, would I be quick? Is the question, would I be quicker to do, say, like cutting the grass or planting flowers for my mom or something else that she wants me to do quicker than I do for my wife? Probably so.
Yeah.
It's not the right thing to say, but it's going to be honest. That's what you're going to get from me. So,
yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. That's what we do. And we're getting close to. I got a little bit more. We're getting close to shutdown time. This is great. But as we come into the final leg of this thing, is it possible, and it's to anybody, is it possible to be the head of two households, your household and your mother's household at the same time?
Oh, wow. Crickets.
I would say yes. I'd say it's possible. It's not desirable, it's possible. And especially, I think, if you are an only child or the oldest son, I think it's possible. It's possible to take care of your own immediate family and also, you know, take care of an extension of your immediate family, which is your mom, and what's going on in her household. How you balance that, how do you keep it separate, you know, it depends on the person and the situation.
Good words. Anybody like to agree or disagree with that? Is it possible to be the head of two households, your household and your mother's household at the same time?
I agree. I agree that it's definitely possible. And sometimes, I mean, what choice would you have? If your mom is, let's just not say elderly, let's just say she's single, and there's certain things that she needs and you're in the same area, you know, you're going to go and handle it. I mean, it is what it is. And then you got to go back home and handle that too. So your plate may be full, but I don't think you have a choice.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it is one of those things where you would have to, it's possible. You could definitely do it if you had to. Now,
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, you wouldn't have to be in that situation, you know, too soon. But
yeah,
it's definitely possible. You know, I think about my situation personally. I'm more than not in the same state, not even the same region. And, you know, I'm an only child, and she never got remarried, so she's flying solo. You know, but pushing close to 70, you know, I worry every day. So I talk to her every day. I got a couple of my boys back home that swing by and check on her every week. Every week. And they call and they talk to me and they say, yeah, you know, I went by, checked on your mom, sat and talked with her, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, I mean, all you can do is what you can do, you know.
I think in that case, I think you're really more, you're still the head of one household. It's almost, you're almost one of them bishops. They got one church in two locations.
Yeah, that's good, Rodney.
I think you're still the head of one household. Your mom is just now a part of that household, or maybe now or has been a part of that household. Because, you know, whether you're helping her out with, you know, finances or making sure things are kept up around the house or the cars or whatever, I think she's more a part of the household than a separate household of her own. If you're calling every day, if you're stopping by there every day or every other day, or you know what I mean? If she's that ingrained into your day-to-day routines, I think she's really a part of that household as opposed to her own separate household.
Mm-hmm. Good words, good words. Has anybody's mother ever said that you've changed since you got married? That you've changed? I'm on somebody's street.
Yeah, you are.
my mom has never said it, but I'm positive. I'm almost positive that she's thought it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But Rodney, couldn't you have actually changed for the better?
Oh, absolutely, and rightfully so. I know she thinks that, and like I said, rightfully so, because I was there more often. I was calling more often. I was going to all the different functions, whether it was birthdays or whatever, not her birthday, but just different functions that the family has and where we get together for different things. You know, I was around a lot more, and then rightfully so, and being married, you know, I got in-laws, and I got my own family and kids, and so forth and so on. So, and I'm the youngest of seven, so she's been through this six other times. So
right.
It shouldn't be a surprise to her. But, you know, yeah, absolutely, I'm positive. You know, especially being the youngest, you think you could be around forever while everyone else is taking off and leaving and starting families and stuff. So, yeah, I'm positive she's thought that yeah, he's changed somewhere. And some of her little comments you might make kind of indicate that too. She just never goes as far as like what I'm hearing on the phone, where she might just be completely direct and just, you know, this, that, and the other about your wife or something like that. She's never, my mother's never done that, so.
Yeah.
But I know she thinks it.
Well, Rodney, do you think your mom loves or cares for you more than the father figure in your life?
Yeah. If I had to, yeah, if I make it black and white, then I would say, yeah, I think she does. Although both of them have cared for me and probably equally in their own way, shown their love for me. I think Mom definitely cares more for probably all the kids, but probably more for the boys than the girls, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she does care for me more than probably my dad. My dad, you know, my dad is, I actually take after him, which, you know, it is what it is, but to some degree, and the dad just saying, hey, okay, time for you to move on, get a life, nice knowing you kind of thing. And Mom has kind of always been there along the way and, you know, making sure that you're making progress and trying to slip you a couple dollars or do this and do that. So, you know, yeah, that's, so I think in that regard, I would say, yeah, she probably loves more than my dad.
Good words. And I want to talk briefly, only got 15 minutes, briefly about that rough patch that we experience in our marriage. And some of y'all, you know, some of y'all are going through it right now. I've been there, done that, as Andrew says, got the T-shirt. Did not get the legal bill. But I want you to think about this, and this is kind of a difficult question as well. Is your current relationship with your mother better than your current relationship with your wife? What I mean by that is that, you know, the brother mentioned earlier that he talks to his mother every day. You know, his wife is there. But if you were to look at it, like Rodney said earlier, in a black and white kind of context, and would you say that your relationship with your mother is actually kind of better than your relationship with your wife, even maybe just a little bit? Anybody? I know I'm on somebody's street. I wrote that question for a reason. Nobody?
I wouldn't say that my relationship with my mother is better.
Okay.
It's just that I can talk to my mother about different things that I can't talk to my wife about. My wife and I, we can't communicate right now like that. You know what I mean? Like, right on cue.
was that your wife?
No. I wouldn't say. I thought she was calling me up. But,
go ahead, brother.
But what I'm saying is that,
you know, the communication, you can communicate more freely with your mother than you can with your wife currently.
Right. You know, and let me say, like, I was at a wedding, and my boy, the pastor that married him, she said that your wife, one line that she said that stood out in my head was that your wife is going to be your best friend and your biggest antagonist. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, wow, that's so true, because, like, my wife is probably will give me the hardest time, but then at times she'll be my best friend. It's just, like, weird like that. You know what I mean? Like, whereas though my mom is just always going to be in my corner no matter what. I can just talk to her about things. Now, our relationship has changed a bit since she has gotten married. But, yeah, so it's much easier to talk to my mother than it is.
I would say, Rodney, it's not, I don't think it's a closer relationship. It's a different conversation.
Yeah.
I think my mom knows me. She knows that we're very much alike. You know, we can step outside of the emotional and just talk. But from the head, this makes sense, this doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
My wife does that, but it's a push for her because she is, okay, how is this going to make others feel? How do you feel about it? How do I feel about it? So if I'm making certain decisions, and we are planning to do certain things, the conversation that I would have with my mom about it, if I ever talk to her about it, it's very much, all right, what makes sense and how we're going to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That conversation can last 5 minutes. The same conversation with my wife is 2 days.
Right.
You know what else, too, if I could say, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
that my wife will listen to when I'm speaking to her. It's like she's listening to it only to come up with a rebuttal. She's not listening to me to hear what I have to say. She's trying to figure out, well, how I'm gonna like respond to whatever he's saying. Like, you know what I mean? Just to almost come with some type of conflict. Like, are you listening to me, or are you just gonna sit back and just, you're just trying to figure out a way to just kind of argue a point? That's what I find to be different.
But, I think it depends on the conversation.
No, it's all my conversation. we can talk about the sky. I'm looking at the sky like, man, the sky sure is blue today. No, it's not. It's kind of green. Like, really? Like, well,
brother, let me. We've some of us have already been there and been through that. Some of us are right where you at currently. But you know, heart goes out to you, but you can get through it. You can get through it. But many women out here, I'm going to talk about the women out here. Many women say that mothers, in some cases, have actually ruined their sons for marriage. Could they be right? Our mothers, you know, maybe being too soft on us or not holding us accountable, you know, all the time. Have our mothers, in some cases, actually ruined us for marriage? Is that true?
Ruin us for marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Or ruin our marriages? Oh, okay.
Ruin us for marriage. You know, not as Brother Peyton would say, you know, the internships, but just not for the wife to come in and sort of almost have to retrain us that they're not going to treat us like mom did. You know what I mean? Somebody help me. You know, but
I think that in a situation, and I'm not going to say that anyone would ever be ruined, because
mm-hmm.
you can learn, you know. But I think that in a situation where the mom keeps you under her roof till you're 35, 37 years old, I think it makes it difficult for any woman to get you after that point, because then, you know, there is no 50-50. There's no head of the household, because you've always been, you know, up under your mom.
Yeah, but T-Hawk, you're right there, because you're 35 and, you know, your mom's still packing your lunch for work, or, you know,
yeah.
she's still washing and ironing your clothes. I mean,
telling you what to do,
yeah.
you're clean.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah,
and when you get married,
man.
Yeah, and when you get married, your wife, she may or may not be ironing your clothes. I know if I want something ironed, I have to iron it myself. But at the same token, my mom irons all my stuff, you know, and even if I go home, you know, to visit, you know, she'll wash and iron my stuff, you know, and I have to be like, Mom, you know, nah, I can handle it, you know, but she volunteers and does that stuff. You know, I know y'all got some moms that are like that, but, you know, my wife, I don't even really, not that she wouldn't do it, but I iron my own, and I'm different, you know, I get my stuff, I don't even know what I'm gonna wear until the morning of, so, you know, where she's ironing and getting her stuff ready overnight, you know, and she's like, why don't you just do what I do, get your stuff together overnight, but I'm just not like that, so I couldn't tell her what to iron anyway, but,
yeah,
you
know,
that's
difficult, that would be difficult, that whole scenario would be difficult,
yeah,
you know, I mean, because even then the wife would never measure up to the mom at that point.
Right.
Whatever she
right.
did, she would never measure up to what he's used to getting, a 30-year-old grown man living with his mom. It's just, it's difficult. So that, in that respect, it can be borderline ruined, I would think.
Yeah, and that's what I was getting at. Thank you, brother. And let me ask y'all this as we get close to final questions here. When your wife married you, in a sense, did she marry your mother too? I mean, as far as like a package deal, almost in a sense. I'm not being literal. I'm just being, you know, it's,
yeah.
you know, I mean, when your wife married you, in a sense, did she, you know, is Mom Duke part of the deal there? I mean, is it, in a sense, did she marry your mother too? Is that part of it?
Well, not only did she marry your mother, but I think she also married your family. That's how I feel.
Okay.
I mean, you got to think about it, man. When you get married, I mean, we all say I'm marrying you, but 100 times out of 100 times you marry you, her, her family, her upbringing, your upbringing, all that comes into play when it comes in. It may not come in at that time, but it's going to come in somewhere in the marriage.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I think that's true. But I think there's different levels of severity to it, though. You know, like, particularly in my instance, one person giving me everything, no other kids, it was just me. So, yeah, whether my mom is in this house or not, everything with regards to my thought process, how I handle things, how I carry it out, it's all mom's.
Mm-hmm.
It's all mom's.
And how come, how can we never, ever think about, quote-unquote, divorcing our mom? But the thought, in fact, has come across our mind about divorcing our wife. I mean, is it safe to say that we'll ride or die almost 100%, pretty much 100% for mom, but only about, you know, 99.9% with the wife? Or another way to put it, 9, 9, 9.
We cannot put it that way anymore.
Good
day
of that.
That plan is dead.
But I mean, really, let me get back. I diverted a little bit. But, how come we would never think about disowning or quote unquote divorcing our mom? But the thought absolutely crosses our mind at some point during our marriage. Like the brother said, you know, you can get traded in for somebody else.
Think about signing them papers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's real.
Because here's the thing. You know you're supposed to divorce your mom. Because, I mean, it says in the Bible, you know, you're supposed to let go of all others.
Mm-hmm.
And except your wife. However, some men can't do it. Let's just be honest. There's some men out here in the world that just can't do it. They're attached. They're still attached to the umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm.
And because that umbilical cord fed you all your life, and it's been your friend that we talked about earlier, you know, she's been your best friend for majority of your life, it's hard to let go of that grip. Because not only, because you can't separate the two. You can't separate friendship from motherhood.
So let me throw this at y'all.
I got a question.
Oh, go ahead.
And I know you got a question, but I have got to address what that brother just said.
Go ahead.
Because right now at 10:58, I think we're getting ready to get somewhere. I think we've been somewhere. I think that question was profound. Listen. So does that mean that maybe you married the wrong woman if you can't let go of that relationship with your mother? I'm just saying, because a strong woman should take care of all that.
No, absolutely not. I don't think it says that you married the wrong woman.
Okay.
We're talking about your mother.
Yes.
That gave birth to you.
Yes.
That reared you. And for some of us, you know, the single parent household, others might be even a two or extended family household. So it doesn't say that because it's difficult or you can't cut that, you know, cord. That means that you married the wrong woman. I feel like if you had a healthy relationship with your mom growing up, even when you get married, that relationship is going to continue. And there's going to be some things that, as a husband, as a father, I will resort to having a conversation with my mom about, even before I talk to my wife about.
Go ahead, T-Hawk. You were saying.
No. I mean, I get that. I do get that. But I just think that, and this is just my opinion, not to address to anyone on the call, I just think that a certain point, that job, that what you did for me and how you nurtured me and all that, it's over with. Thank you very much, but now I've got to figure out how to love this woman 2,000%. You know, and I believe that sometimes when we, I mean, because it's kind of like loving two women. in a crazy kind of way. It's kind of like I love my wife, but I also love my mother. I talk to my wife every day, but I also talk to my mother every day. You know what I mean?
You have a love, though.
I get that, but it can overlap, I think.
It can overlap, and it's not a but. I love my wife, and I love my mother.
Sure.
I talk to my wife, and I talk to my mother.
I think the reason
I think right. the needs in the two relationships are different.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the more that we, you know, when you're in a marriage, the more that, I mean, I can't, it's difficult for me to grasp the idea that, okay, mommy, you have done enough. Thank you. Bye. Now I have to learn to love this other woman.
Well, not bye. And again, my personal situation was when I married my wife, my second wife, my mother didn't, she just went crazy. She didn't support me. She just turned her, everything, she did everything wrong. And at that particular time, I had to make a choice. Am I going to sit here and deal with my mother's nonsense, or I'm going to go ahead and be this married man? And not only did I have to go with my wife and stand firm with my wife, but to let my mother know, you and I can't have the same relationship until you fix what you did with my wife.
Why did your mom go crazy? What do you think that she needed that she wasn't going to get in you entering into this new relationship?
Because of my previous marriage, I had two children.
Okay.
Marriage, and you know they were of age, and it was time. You know, the marriage just dissolved. It was time to go. But my mother didn't see it that way. She was like, "No, you got to have some more fight. You need to stay." And then she immediately jumped on. You know, she jumped on my ex-wife's family side,
okay. Which
was crazy to me. And I was like, no, you need to be over here with me, what I'm going through, because it wasn't easy for me either. But when I needed her to, and again, you all may not have gone through this with your mom. You probably didn't have this drama. So your relationship is still pure. Mine is a little tainted. So that's probably why I sound different than most of the people on the call other than Peyton. But, you know, she didn't support me. But at that particular time, I had to make a decision. I married this woman, and now I have to stand firm with her, regardless what my mother said. We had a life, and I appreciate everything that she did, but at a certain point, I had to say, okay, I got to go a different direction.
And
that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And your question was actually very profound. I don't think you realize how profound it was, because you said that the hanging on to the mother is basically because of your wife's lack. You know, I mean, if she's doing everything that she, you know, you should have no desire to be hanging on to mommy.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, and that's what I think he was saying, right? That's what you were getting at.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, the first question. I mean, because if we, again, my first wife could have never replaced my mom, just because of the relationship that we had and the person that she was. And that's why it ended. My second wife did replace my mom. And when I mean by replacing, I no longer needed to consult her for anything. I no longer needed her approval. I no longer needed to cry on her shoulders. None of those things. Because now I had this woman who could handle all of these things and more.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So that's why I said, is it the right wife? Because sometimes, you know, this woman that we marry may not be, you know, okay. Better example. I'll give you a better example. As fathers, we have daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And we want our daughter to marry a man better than us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? That's going to take care of our daughters better than we did. We can sleep good at night knowing that they've married this type of individual.
Mm-hmm.
If there's drama in your wife's job, she's not going to call her father. She's going to call her husband. That is father-like, like us. And I think that, you know, that the point that I'm trying to make, that it should be the same way in a wife, a replacement.
Mm.
If that makes any sense.
That's good. That's good words. That's good words.
Well,
I don't know. I said a mouthful. I apologize.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's that time where we're gonna dig just a little bit deeper. I only have three more questions. And the question I was gonna ask before, I thought my question was profound, but before T-Hawk's question, but the question I was gonna ask was, now we have different experiences with our mom, but for the most part, it seems that most of us on the show tonight have a pretty good, fairly well relationship. Some very good relationships with our mothers, but is our relationship with our mother till death do you part? And should it be? Is our relationship till death do you part? When it comes to our mother, and should it be?
I mean, obviously, unfortunately, that's the way it is. You can't,
That's to your mom, so you only get one mom.
You only get one mom, till death do you, till one of you leaves. She ain't going nowhere, neither are you,
Mm-hmm.
You're here to bury your parents.
Yeah.
And carry on their legacy. So, that's the whole goal. Some don't make those goals, but
well, I think
you bring you in the world and inherit what they have taught you and make this world a better place. So,
I think that what he's trying to say is the choice in the matter. We did not have the choice in that matter with our mom, period.
Mm.
But we do have the choice in the matter at the altar with our wife, whether we say till death do us part. And I think that that's the issue, with your wife. You have the choice to make till death do you part. With your mom and your father, that's not a choice. That it is what it is. You can't pick and choose them,
That's strong. That's strong. But speaking of the altar, what's the proper role? What's the proper role a mother should take when her son gets married? What's the proper role a mother should take when her son gets married?
Please, somebody answer that because I want to know. I still don't know. I want to know. I'm begging you.
Come on, T-Hawk.
One more time.
I'll repeat the question one more time. T-Hawk needs to. What is the proper role that a mother should take when her son gets married? Help T-Hawk out.
Yeah, I need it.
Support role.
Support role. That's good.
That's it.
Okay.
Is that it? Somebody got to add to that. T-Hawk need a little bit more.
Yeah, I need more than that.
There is no more. I mean, if your wife is all, then all your mom can be there is for support. She's strictly there for grandparents. Her job is as mother is done.
Mm.
Mother role is gone out the window. It almost becomes now it's different for women. I mean, let's just be honest. But for a man, that's my mother. I protect her to the end, but she has her life to live. I have to protect this home that I've created on my own. Because one thing that ends up we all know is that your mama brought you in this world, but she can't create anything else for you.
Yeah.
You have to do that with your wife.
You want I have a
question just in terms of, I don't know if there's a question on the floor.
Oh, go ahead.
The question is there a role for your mother to play even when you are in a marriage relationship?
That's right.
Does she stop mothering you up until the point you get married and then there's no role for her to play as your mother? She mothered you through all schooling. She mothered you through your development. She mothered you into a young adult male, right? Even probably to some of us into an adult male before we get married. So her role, her job description ends once I get married.
That is such a great question. I mean, it truly is, and let me tell you why. When I talk to my mother now, I can feel her biting her tongue. Wow. I can feel her wanting to say what she normally says, and she's just holding back. So that's why I know, you know, she wants to give me advice and what are you, you know, but she just doesn't. Everything is general. You know what I mean? How's the job going? How's this? Everything is very general. But I know that's not the way she wants to carry the conversation. You know, but some mothers don't. They don't care. They just keep rolling. They just keep, you know, the meter running.
Or for your mother, she might realize that now that I'm mothering my son in a relationship, my mothering is different than when he was single. My mothering is different from when I was rearing him as a child growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think the role of mothering ever ends until somebody pops this world. Like, in every phase of your life, there's a role for the people that God's placed in your life to be there.
For
and
sure.
In this case, your mother.
For sure. And I believe, and you know what, me and Rodney talked about this maybe a year ago when his daughter went away to college, and mine did too. And we were discussing the fact that we have to turn the volume down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We have to back up off of it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and your mother too. I mean, there's certain things that you want to do because the instinct is still there. The parentally instinct is still there. But you have to let them grow and you have to let them be an adult and make decisions and support them, you know, and send those messages, subliminal messages of how you feel, but without being too overbearing. But you got to know when to turn the volume down. Because we're not going to hear that. As men, we're not going to receive that. Mom, you can't tell me, you know, I got to go out and cut the grass. What are you talking about? You know, you can't tell me how to run my finances in my house. You know, but certain times they do, and they'll reflect back on, remember when you was living with me? We didn't have those issues. Why are you having those issues now? No, they have to learn how to, I think, scale back a little bit.
Yeah, and T-Hawk, you said something interesting because that's probably my problem. Now, I have two daughters and
yeah.
brothers, so you don't get confused. He was talking about the other Rodney. You know,
yeah.
my daughters are 8 years old and four, and no, you know, one of them's in the third grade, so not going off to college for anybody
yeah,
who might be confused.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I'd say that's probably my problem, T-Hawk, because I do a lot, especially for my 8-year-old. Now, my 4-year-old's a little different. You know, she's younger, but it's times where I'm packing her lunch, making sure her book bag is complete, that all her stuff is in it. And what I found is that, in a sense, I'm enabling her because she forgets. She always is, well, not always, but on a regular basis, she forgets stuff. Like, she leaves stuff behind. And what I mean by that is that because Dad, you know, when I'm around her, I'm always making sure you got your dance shoes, she goes to ballet, you got your book bag for piano. I'm making sure that everything is, you know, packed and ready to go. And a lot of times my wife is like, why are you doing that? She's 8 years old.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm doing it because that's how my mother treated me, you know. And some would say that she babied me in some senses, you know, that I didn't know how to wash my own clothes, you know, for the longest time. And one time in high school, my mother got sick and she had surgery. And, you know, she's fine now, but during the time where she was, you know, recuperating from her surgery, I had to wash my own clothes. And I proceeded to, I put bleach in the colored clothes because I had to wash my own clothes for the first time.
Wow.
So my mom never taught me, you know, how to wash clothes, how to do this, how to do that, because she would just do it for me. You know, so that's what I was used to. And that's how I kind of look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, you know, just the conversation the other day, you know, we were talking about packing lunch and usually when I'm not around, you know, my daughter will get involved, my 8-year-old, and she'll pack her own lunch and everything, and you know, and but when I'm around, I do it. You know, I enable her, and it's subconscious, I don't mean to handicap her, but I am. And what in turn happens that on Friday, she forgot her dance shoes, you know, at the dance studio, at the ballet studio, because usually daddy packs her bag. You know, daddy packs her, you know, when we're home, or, you know, I'll remind her, did you get your stuff? You got your jacket, you got your dance shoes, you got your tights, you got your leotard, you know, that kind of stuff. She doesn't have to play those things out in her mind because daddy's got it covered. And I think I'm doing her a service where I'm actually doing her a disservice because my wife was totally opposite. You know, she was work, you know, and she was working at a younger age, you know, than I am, and she was very independent at a younger age. And some of the stuff that she tells me that she did as at my child's age, and we have to compromise because I'm just like, no, we in a different time now. You know, we're not doing that. You know, and she was like, but I did it. You know, I washed my own clothes. I did this. I did that. You know, and a lot of times there's a little, you know, static. You know, because we're from different wavelengths. Where her mother didn't, you know, wasn't washing her clothes in high school, and you know, ironing them and preparing them, putting them in the closet, putting them away. And, you know, I didn't even have to much less as take my hamper downstairs, you know, in my room. You know, my mom would come get my clothes and take them downstairs and wash them and, you know, iron them, fold them, and put them back in my dresser and drawer. You know, that, so
that
was great.
But that may be the difference. And if I'm looking at your life and I'm looking at mine, like, I don't, like, you know, if I talk to my mom once every 3 months, you know, or once, I mean, it's no issue there, you know. And you may talk to your mom once a week.
Mm-hmm.
My mom taught me at a young age how to wash dishes, how to wash clothes, how to go grocery shopping, how to do all these things. And what she said to me is she said, this is so you'll never need a woman.
Mm. Wow.
So you'll never need a woman. That's what she told me. You know what I mean? It's like I'm preparing you to go out in the world. You won't even need me at a certain point.
Wow.
You see, other than being in a situation where your mom does everything for you, yes, you're used to needing her. My mom was a little more stern with it. She was like, nah. You know what I mean? This is, you know. And listen, if I wash the dishes and some of them were still dirty, she'll wake me up in the middle of the night and say, get those dishes. If I went to sleep without washing dishes, she'll say, get up in the middle of the night and wash those dishes. And let me show you how to clean this bathroom, the bathtub, the bath toilet, all of that stuff around the house. And we grew up in an apartment in New York. You know what I mean? So it was nowhere to run. I had to do what she told me to do, you know. But it made a man out of me because now I can do these things around. Even if my wife doesn't feel like doing it, I can go in there and get busy. You know, but I think that's the difference between growing up that way and then growing up with a mother that was extremely nurturing. Not saying it's a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. I wish that I didn't have to do any of that stuff growing up.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But I think that that's what it made. That's why I got easier to pull away and to latch on to my wife and not to my mom.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of washing dishes, you know, I just got two more questions here after this, but the, you know, washing dishes, my mom never taught me how to wash dishes.
Wow.
You know, and if I did wash dishes for whatever reason, some cases she would rewash them.
I hate washing dishes.
Yeah.
I mean, because they weren't clean enough, so she wouldn't wake me up and say, boy, get up here, you didn't see this food on it. She would just rewash them, you know, and, but it was rare, you know, that I washed dishes, but,
Wait, I have a question, Rodney.
Go ahead, brother.
Your daughter at 8 packs her own lunch?
She can, absolutely, yeah.
What did she take him for lunch?
Turkey sandwich and, some chips and, some fruit and vegetables.
Wait, we gotta talk about that later.
Sure thing, brother. Sure thing.
I'm gonna say my daughter at 3 needs to figure out what she needs to snack to go to school because if not, she's not gonna have any in the morning.
There you go.
There you go, man.
Yeah. So before she goes to bed at night at 8:30, she needs to figure out what she's gonna do for snack for school because when Dad's ready to go in the morning, I'm not packing any snacks.
That's good.
That's right.
Man, my daughter know how to do all that stuff, man. Get up. I'm out.
Yeah.
Man, listen. We got it good in this country. Some countries, man, at 4 years old, they cooking for the whole family. 4 or 5 years old, they getting it in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not that they can't do it. It's just that we have to let them do it. We got to make them say, this is how you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And we're talking about daughters. But does anybody have a son or stepson, son or stepson?
I have a son.
Have a son.
He said,
does your son ever act like he's his mother's husband?
I think he's a mama's boy. I don't know about
it. I love it. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
full circle, Rodney. From full
yeah,
circle.
That's right. That's how we do, brother. But, brothers, I mean, but in some areas, you know, maybe he's not. And with you guys, he doesn't have to be. You know, because you're doing, you know, what you're supposed to do as the head of household. Now, if you were lacking, you know, it may be some issues there where he's stepping in. You know, trying to fill a role that he's not equipped to fill because of your lack. But in some areas, would you say that your wife's relationship with her son is too close? That's safe to say in some areas that her relationship is too close?
I think my son observes my relationship with his grandmother, my mom. Mm-hmm. And so I think at 8, he's starting to form some of that relationship with his mom. You know, there's certain things that he definitely don't come to me and talk to me about. He'll talk to his mother, right? A part of it is, you know, he thinks he can get away with it a little bit more with mom. Do I think their relationship is too close? No, because, you know, whatever they talk about, you know, my wife and I usually talk about it. You know, she'll come and say, you know what, our son said this, or we talk about this, or he's thinking this. And so I don't necessarily think but he's 8, you know what I'm saying? He's still,
right.
You know, he's still growing into that relationship.
But let me flip it around, brother. If I were to ask your wife, would she say that in some areas your relationship with your mother is too close? If I were to ask her, say, hey, is your husband's relationship with his mom too close?
No, I think she would say that my mom respects me, and that might sometimes pose some difficulties for her, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'll say that, you know, they have a really close relationship, and his mom respects it.
Gotcha.
You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, a 5-minute conversation with my mom is a 2-day conversation with my wife. It doesn't mean I don't have the 2-day conversation.
Right.
I just know the conversation is going to go very differently. I still have the conversation with my wife.
Right.
And she will tell you that, okay, we're going to make a big decision. He probably has had a conversation with his mom somewhere along the way. Sometimes she knows, sometimes she doesn't.
And speaking of your mother, this is really the final two questions, brother. I only got two more. Speaking of your mother, how was or how is your mother's relationship with her own father? Do you know?
For me specifically, you know, my grandfather transitioned a couple of years ago, but, you know, she had a great relationship with her father. You know, she has 7 brothers and sisters, and of the 7, I think she's probably closest to her dad. Doesn't help that they look alike, and, you know, so they were always very close. It wasn't always like that, because there was a time in her life where he wasn't around,
country, but they had a great relationship. And it's kind of a similar thing when I say, you know, she would talk to her dad about a whole lot of things. You know, our grandmother transitioned when they were young. My grandmother transitioned with my mom when I was 2 years old. So this was, you know, over 35 years ago. And so they had to, as, you know, kids, young adults with children, they had only had their biological father. And so that, I think that kind of helped the relationship early along. But I would say they had a great relationship before he transitioned.
Good words. Anybody else? I'll restate the question. How was or how is your mother's relationship with her own father? Do you know? Was it great? Was it strained?
Well, I remember, he's passed away now, but I remember their relationship was great. Where, I don't know, I think I got some of my characteristics from him, not only from my father, but from him also, because we were that close.
Yeah.
My mom had a good relationship with my grandfather. I mean, probably not as tight as, you know, she and I. We get along, but yeah, they get along pretty well.
Good words. Going back to the reality show example, and this is the final question. Going back to the reality show TV example that I talked about at the very beginning of the show, Jim Jones just lets his lady Chrissy and his mom duke it out. He usually does not get involved in their spats and disagreements. Final question, what would you say is the proper role for the head of household to take when dealing with Mom Duke? What's the proper role for the head of household to take when dealing with your mother?
You mean the fight with your spouse?
Just in general. You know, setting up proper boundaries, you know, that sort of thing. What's the proper role the head of household should take just in the relation between mother-son, mother-daughter-in-law? What's the – because in Jim Jones' example, they're not married yet, but he just kind of just, I'm out. You know, I ain't even dealing with – y'all deal with that. But what's the proper role the head of household should take when dealing with your mother? When setting up those boundaries, or should she set up? I mean, what's the proper role that you should take in these motherly relations? That's the final question.
I mean, I just think that you have to have the conversation with your mom that that your role is different now. You're the man of the house. You're the man of your situation, and just respect it. You know, and your relationship with your mom is not going to change, but she just have to respect your role in this marriage, you know, and let you run it, pretty much. And also in the situation with your mom and your wife having their issue, you know, she's got to respect your wife. You got to stand up for your wife, I believe, you know. But if your wife is wrong, then you discuss that with your wife behind closed doors. But I think that you have to, you know, support your wife at this stage of the game.
Yeah, and I think with your mom, I think an easy way to lead into that conversation is to discuss her history.
Yeah.
And, you know, how that transpired with, you know, your father, his father and mother, her in-laws, and how that relationship went along, and you know, then it's easy enough to transition into the current relationship. And I don't think, I think after you put it in that perspective, I don't think she'll have – but granted, the situations could be a little different because of relationships or what have you, but I think the transition of the conversation, if it is tense or uncomfortable or whatever, I think that goes out the window at that point, and she should completely understand by the time you finish that conversation.
Great words.
So somebody mentioned that, you know, if
between your wife and your mom, if there's a confrontation, you stand up for your wife. If your wife is wrong, then you pull her behind closed door. And I guess my approach has always been, I kind of look at it like a team. You know, I serve as an AD at a school now, and I watch my coaches when they work with the team. And there's things that happen in our gym that when we go out to play another school, that I don't have to say a whole lot to the kids. You know, so if I walk out on the floor and I say, I remember we talked about this, and they're like, all right, Perkins, we got you, right? They understand that there's certain things we don't do when we're public because we're a team. And even though it might hurt, even though it might cause a conflict, you just avoid the situation. And I think in as it relates to, you know, wife and the mother-in-law's, you know, interaction, I think there's certain things that you just avoid, right? And when you're behind closed doors, when you're having that conversation with your wife, it's almost like you prep for those situations to happen. And so I don't get in a disagreement between my wife and my mom. I never get in the middle of it. Because all I'll say to my wife is, honey, remember we talked about this. And she'll be like, all right, we're good. She might still be upset. But yeah. It had put me in a situation where I have to pick sides. Because there's just no win in that.
No win.
There's no win for me to say, hon, you're correct. Mom, you're incorrect. Because I'm going to have to deal with my mom and all that stuff after. And the reverse is also true. And so what I try to do is just try to, again, my wife and I will talk about certain things that might come up. All right, we get it. So when we got married, I said to her, your mom and dad are cool. We accept them. We roll with them. We have a great relationship. But the rest of your family, I can't deal with them for more than half an hour. Literally. And, I mean, her parents will come here, and they'll spend 2 weeks. And then we'll drive to a family event, and I'll spend half an hour, and I'm done. She knows. I leave, and I go on my truck, and I sit there. And she's like, all right, you ready to go home now? Give me another 45 minutes. Right? And she knows it, so I just try not to get in a situation where I'm having an argument with one of her aunts or one of her uncles or whatever. It's just she knows that that's a situation that, you know, my husband, we have talked about this now for 12 years. He can't be in this situation for more than half an hour. I mean, I've learned to say an hour. Hour is good for me now. But it can't be more than that.
Good words, good words. Well, fellas, we've come to a close.
Hey, Rodney,
yes,
I got
sir?
One thing, though.
Okay.
And to me, and one of the reasons why I say this is because my mom is not going to divorce me. My wife will. And when it comes to a situation like that, because I have a friend of mine, actually, that has gone through this with two young children that has gone through a divorce because he picked his mom over his wife, personal friend. And he picked his sister over his wife. He picked his family over his wife. And she, no matter what he did to get back in and try to fix it, he could not fix it. And I think, Rodney, you remember my friend Israel, who used to come on all the time?
Yes.
Yeah. Him. And he could not fix it. Whatever he could do, he went back, he tried to make it right. She just wasn't, I mean, it burned so deep with her.
Yeah.
She couldn't fix it. You know what I'm saying? So in a situation like that, if it's between your wife and your mom, the best thing to do is to at least show your wife that you have her back in that situation. Because your mom will get over it. Your wife may not ever recover.
Mm-hmm. Great words. And it's time for the conclusion. Your favorite part. Regardless of which side of the family it comes from, interference is an assault upon the sanctity of the marriage and violates the leave and cleave of God's order for marriage. A man and woman leave their birth families and begin a new family, and they're to love and protect each other. A husband who allows his mother or mother-in-law to interfere with his marriage is not living up to the commandment given to husbands in Ephesians 5:25-35. Boundaries need to be set and maintained regardless of the resistance encountered. The reality is that people treat us the way we allow them to treat us. If we permit them to trample the sanctity of our family, then that's exactly what they'll do. No one has the right to invade the privacy of our home, and it's the responsibility of the head of household to guard that privacy. He should take the lead gently but firmly, explaining to his mother or mother-in-law that what she's doing is over the line and that her behavior cannot be tolerated. He should remind her that God has given him the responsibility for his family, and to relinquish any of that responsibility to her is to disobey God. He should also assure the mother or mother-in-law that he and his wife still love her, but that the relationship has changed and that he's in charge now. That's God's design for the family, and that's just the way it is, fellas. The couple must then stand firm in their resolve. So what can we do about a meddling mother or mother-in-law? We can make a choice not to allow her to take away our peace of mind. We may not be able to change the way other people behave, but we can change how we respond to their behavior. Her behavior is not our responsibility, but our response is. Parents and in-laws should be treated with respect and love, but we must not allow our emotions to entangle us. We can allow the actions of other people to get to us, or we can choose to give it over to God and allow him to use it to strengthen us spiritually. When a couple gets married, sometimes there's a unity candle present that's part of the ceremony. And at some point during the wedding ceremony, y'all know, both sets of parents or guardians come forward and light the candle that represents them. The bride and groom then use the two lit candles to light the one unity candle. The unity candle symbolizes the joining together of the bride and groom to indicate that the two lives have been permanently merged. The bride and groom then blow out the flame that represents their respective families. But the candles still remain. That concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the virtual talk show brought to you by the head of household. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You can join us again next week from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And next week's topic will be... to be determined. For more information, please feel free to visit our website, householdstress.com. That website again, householdstress.com.
You are now free to move about the country.